Get into Gate. This is episode 123. We're talking Stargate SG-1.
One, two, three.
One.
Holy Hannah.
That's the full Get Into Gate team. My name's Mitch. We got Matty.
Yo.
Brendan.
Hello.
And Reese.
G'day, guys.
Reese, our first time watcher.
Should have gone 1, 2, 3. That would have been funny.
Should have.
Could have, should have, would have, mate.
Ah, well.
You know what I like most about this episode, Mitch?
What you got, mate?
The previously on.
Oh.
Number one on the audio.
That's my most hated. My number one note, too.
Previously on Stargate SG-1.
Reese, your father made you wrong.
No.
Yes. Yes.
I almost wanted you to put in, you stupid son of a bitch.
And then that was frying pan on the head at the end there.
You know, when I flicked this episode on, press play, I was writing down my notes. Ep 12, Unnatural Selection, and I heard that previously on Reese. As soon as he said Reese, I'm like, look at the TV with such disdain. You Jackson,
like
you piece of shit.
Daniel's
that's why
dead,
you hate him.
But he's still giving it to you.
He's been telling me my father made me wrong for 6 years.
Oh, love it.
6 years.
Yeah, I've actually been playing that to you in your sleep since 2008.
That's why I've been dreaming about it.
So if you're a first-time listener, Reese is our first-time watcher of Stargate. The rest of us
and my
are
father made me wrong.
Long-time fans of the show. We're introducing Reese one episode per week on the podcast. We are here, episode 12 of season 6, Unnatural Selection. Let's have a look at what the episode's about and throw it over to Reese. And see what he thought. When SG-1 is marooned in deep space, Thor and the Ancients come to the rescue. What? And then they seek O'Neill's help to combat the replicators who have overrun their home world. What? Convinced they will attack Earth if not stopped. What? O'Neill stages a daring mission to stop the replicators once and for all.
Does it say Thor and the Ancients?
Thor and the Ancients.
I call you Steve Austin there, mates, to be just stone cold.
What?
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 What? Then they seek O'Neill's help to combat the replicators who have overrun their home world.
Well, yeah, the Asgard home world.
It's not their home world, though. It's one of their...
It was
their
like an outpost type thing or something.
It was their first world.
Yes.
Like, honestly, who's writing this? Last week we said in Prometheus, they literally ran through beat by beat and twist by twist the entire episode. This one, it's like, Unnatural Selection, I've got this. Let me just make it up on the fly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it sounds like.
The Ancients aren't even mentioned in this, are they?
No.
That's
so you only had to wait a week, Reese. Maddie said to us last week that there was a whole mid-season break between Prometheus and Unnatural Selection. Did the payoff did it for you?
Yeah, look, I mean, one of the benefits of watching a TV show that's 20 years old, you know, didn't have to wait a few months. But I don't know. This is sort of, I don't know. I don't know about this one.
What?
No, look, it was a great episode. The concept of it was great, but I didn't buy the whole we're f***ing human now.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Where they walked out as humans and said, we are the replicators.
Yeah.
Well, you're not. You're not. You replicate hardware.
They're nanites. They're tiny, tiny little replicators.
Yeah.
Skin. They've got skin.
Tiny bugs.
Yeah, they're tiny
skin
bugs.
Skin-coloured nanites.
They're bug people.
Well, they don't have skin because they shot them with a bullet and went straight through them.
Yeah. They're basically liquid metal Terminator. So it's like if those replicator blocks shrink down to microscopic size, they can then make these human form replicators.
Yeah, but I don't forget
they're on the planet for like hundreds of years to evolve to that state.
I have to agree, though.
I want a Terminator.
I've never been
you
a fan
You might get
of,
it.
I've never been a fan of human form replicators. I'm just not a... I prefer the bugs. Yeah. I like them being like a force of nature, a swarm coming through. We can't negotiate with them. We can't reason with them. They are just a force of nature that we've got to blow away.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. We've got the Gua world to, you know, Shades of Grey.
Psychological warfare.
All that kind of, you know, stealing hosts and turning them into enemies and stuff like that. I've never been a fan of human form. I understand from a writing point of view, it gives the writers much more to do with the replicators, and it's much cheaper for them now that they can hire actors rather than CG.
That's why it pissed me off, I think. It was just an easy way out.
Yeah.
Like, they could have made it so epic and built, human replicators out of replicator blocks that were more advanced mechanically than what they've previously done, but now they're just another human. They're just another Goa'uld.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's the thing. We have humanoid adversaries, but at least there is some not precedent because Reese wasn't a an android, but the fact that their maker was humanoid. It wasn't like it is just strictly a budgetary thing. Like, it probably is.
I think that's why it gives credence.
Here's an interesting point, though, is they say, oh, we didn't model ourselves, because when they're talking to them, we didn't model ourselves after humans. We modeled ourselves after our creator, Reese.
Yeah.
A lot of white folk there, considering Reese is their person. She was Asian.
And she was a woman.
It's kind of funny, actually.
So, like, I know there is a lot of, like, male, but the fact that the first of, you know, the first.
Yeah, first.
Was a man. I like how they're like, oh, yeah, girl, boy, girl.
You know what would have been epic if she walks out? If she was
first, that would have been great. And now instead of an android, she is like a liquid metal Terminator.
Yeah.
How would that have been sick.
Cooper.
Yeah. It's like because using her code somehow transferred like some of her consciousness into the replicators.
Yeah.
How f-ing awesome would that have been? That would have been sick.
For me, this is the top three of the season. For me, I love it. You got the Asgard, the new Prometheus doing tugging along, and the replicators aren't interested. You got a replicator planet, the whole surface of the planet. You got time dilation. You got betrayal. I mean, what else do you want?
It's good. It's good. I'm just, the human form replicators aren't.
I think I was let down too much. When they come out as humans, I'm like, what? How are they humans? There's no humans on that planet. I'm like, they can't be the replicators. How did they replicate skin? Like, to me, it was just too far-fetched.
It's not skin, mate.
No, I know, but, like, how did they put their hand in O'Neill's head then?
Nanites.
Well, you can't go through his skin, can you? Like, that's
what I mean.
The bullets
went through them.
Yeah, in his paws.
Yeah, through his paws, mate.
I don't buy the...
Can I get through his skull, mate?
Okay. I don't buy
it's
the hand.
It's sci-fi. You can't throw that away. Jesus Christ.
I'll remember that fucking argument. Yeah. It's sci-fi.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And how come none of...
All your arguments about the gate, all your arguments now are invalid because it's sci-fi.
Yeah. How come...
You got to go
It's
with
like
it.
Saying it's in the script.
No, what I'm saying is you go with it.
How come...
You don't
how
go, that's far-fetched.
How come the bugs, their colour is determined by whatever they eat? So it's like when we meet the Asgard bugs, they're purple. When they're on Earth, when they've been eating a submarine, they're silver. Mm. Now they can just turn themselves skin tone colour?
They've been there for thousands of years. Like they've just learned the colour palette.
But the bugs are still silver. why aren't the bugs flesh coloured?
Maybe
it's a hierarchy thing, mate. They're the rich, the bugs are the poor.
And why do they need shoes or clothes?
They ate the white people.
Yeah.
What I wanted to know mainly was, did they replicate a penis?
Well, if you're going to hire...
Well, how do they know? Yeah.
If you're going to hire Tamo Pennicat, they definitely created a penis because he is an Adonis of a man. He's the guy that played Third.
What's he in?
He plays Halo from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I've seen... Is he in another episode of Stargate, though? I feel like I've seen him a lot somewhere.
No. Yeah, he's one of the main characters in Battlestar Galactica. He's hooking up with Satterfield. Remember Satterfield from... The team that you guys hate?
Yep.
The Asian chick that was from Hawaii Five-0? SG, no
thanks. Oh, Team Grogan.
Yeah.
SG Grogan.
he and Satterfield get together on Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. No, he looks familiar to me as well. I haven't seen Battlestar.
He's in a heap of shit. I didn't go to his own.
He's a great actor. And it's funny too because it's like he's in this as just a background actor, not really doing much, and then Fifth is kind of prominent. And then Tamo gets Battlestar Galactica, and then Fifth, who you don't really see much do much other work, is like a background actor in like two episodes of Battlestar Galactica. And I'm like, that's an.
What's Third's name?
Just Third. Oh, Tamo Pennicat. He's a Kiwi.
Tamo.
Yeah. And then
he wasn't in Lord of the Rings or anything.
No. He was in Dollhouse, but you guys probably wouldn't have seen that. That's another Joss Whedon show.
No, we don't like Joss. Try to avoid it. No.
That's one. The chick who played Second was actually the waitress from Upgrades, the one that they ordered the steaks from. You know, in Upgrades, when they go to the bar, three steaks, three baked potatoes, blah, blah. Jesus. No, that was for me. Well, that
who
waitress.
Who call a nerd?
That waitress is Second in this episode.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, I think all the sci-fi type stuff at the start was really sick. Like, the idea that they've got a time dilation, like, bubble.
Oh,
and they're sending out a signal, all the replicators in the moths to a light, just, like, getting sucked in this time dilation bubble where they'll just be slowed down for the rest of time. I'm like, that's sick. And then by the time they get there, it's like the replicators went, no, we reversed this shit. Yeah. We've been advancing ourselves to the point where, like, are they planning to, like, would they envision that they would be able to live on for thousands of years, or that they're just like, you know what, we're just going to do our bit for our race so that one day in 1,000 of our years, they'll go out when it's been like 18 minutes in real space and they'll be able to take over the Asgard right away.
Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of left quite vague for me. Like, I don't, like, were they going to build a ship and go and destroy the Asgard? That didn't seem to be part of their plan. They were just more focused on...
They're just
going to
go forth, he
putting,
said.
Yeah, putting their hand in SG-1's heads. Like, and how?
Yeah.
Probably, I think it was if SG-1 didn't land, it was going to be in 10 minutes.
Oh, they were just going to
go. They're like, what are these guys doing here?
I thought you were about to drop the truth on them.
This would be interesting.
Let's just wait till they knock on the door and see what they want.
But yeah, they rocked up, and this is the spawn of the episode, which was nice.
And we're introduced
to sci-fi,
new...
just go with it.
Well, and apparently, one of the elements they hide behind with the new human form replicators is they need neutronium to be able to do to become human form, blah, blah, blah. So I did find on the Stargate Wiki, neutronium is made when electron shells of atoms are collapsed and all matter becomes one giant nucleus of neutrons. A piece of neutronium the size of a double cheeseburger. Jump onto conversion.com and just check this one for me, Brendan.
Well, some cheeseburgers are bigger than others.
Right.
250 grams.
A piece the size of a double cheeseburger would weigh about as much as New York, the state, not the city.
Mm. Oh, Jesus.
Or a pounder. So... half a quarter pounder.
Half a quarter pounder.
Half a quarter pounder. No, a pounder would be 4 quarter pounders.
No, but the cheeseburger is half a quarter pounder.
Yeah, but if it's a single cheeseburger, it's a quarter of a half a quarter pounder.
Empirical measurement joke.
But it's a double cheeseburger. That's all.
Yeah.
And then where do you stop measuring New York? It's like, are you just measuring the buildings or are you measuring the ground underneath? How far down do you measure the ground? It's a lot
of
questions.
Do you go to the subway or...?
Yeah.
Do you add everything in?
Right, and the people.
Or if you're in Futurama, is it you're adding New York and New York?
Yes.
So
that's always a question.
Old New York.
Yeah. So there's no cheeseburger measurement on conversion.com?
Cheeseburger ready. Look,
it's like I weigh 42 cheeseburgers. Like, is that can that be a thing?
Probably. Yeah. I can look it up.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, tell you by the end of the show. Yeah, great people.
Kilograms to cheeseburgers.
Jump on board.
So at the start, Thor brings them back to Earth in an instant.
God, that kind of irked me.
Beams up everything that they need, and then he's like, okay, let's start the episode now.
Yeah.
Over to there.
It was like a cutscene from like a video game. It's like, here's all the stuff you need for this mission. Bang, 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 bang. Let's go.
It's basically like the to be continued, oh, what's going to happen? But then it's just a really quick way to wrap up the last episode, but then really quickly get into this episode.
We're back home. I've beamed up everything you need. We've beamed down the reporter and those other guys into the cafeteria, but we've beamed down the bad guys into the brig because somehow Thor knew which ones were which.
And we never see
them
again.
We've done everything you need, except we don't know that ice cream needs refrigeration.
Why not just bring the freezer that they were in?
Right? Although, to get that scene where Teal'c was eating ice cream, though, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that was great.
All about that.
And didn't Thor just beam in the yellow ones? So couldn't he beam, like, they have, like, replicators, Star Trek replicators in the future. They can just replicate anything. Wouldn't they just be able to make food for him?
Maybe they didn't want to take one out of their ship and put it into Prometheus. They're like, oh, we'll just beam up food.
Yeah, but I mean, create it and beam the food in. Anyway, too many loopholes for me.
Yeah,
mate, it's sci-fi. Just go with it.
You wouldn't get that great scene with Teal'c stealing ice cream.
Yeah. I've been wanting to send that meme in our group chat for years, and it's like, no, I'm not going to spoil that for Reese. That's one of the few things I'm not going to spoil for Reese. I'm going to let him see Teal'c, like, bogarting the ice cream off O'Neill.
That's great. He's like, don't f***ing touch my ice cream, mate. You know, when Jonas was talking in that instance, I was not listening to a word he was saying. Yeah. So I was just watching Teal'c and O'Neill.
I was trying to figure out what flavor Teal'c was palming off. He's like, you can have half my chunky monkey, and I'm going to have this new tub of whatever it is.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. And then another moment where... O'Neill's just like, oh, I knew the other shoe was going to drop. And Thor's like, oh, hopefully that will be the last footwear to fall. I was like, a season ago, that would have been a Teal'c joke.
Yeah.
But now they're like acclimating him. So it's like, no, that's a Thor joke.
I just love like the Asgard, the dead set giving SG-1 like mission impossible in this episode. The way it starts up, like right at the start, and they're like, you need to go and do this and then do this and do all that. It's like when he's like, you know, you've got to go into this time dilation. You've got to take on an enemy that we've never been able to beat. You've got to do this in this amount of time.
Yeah.
And just looking at death stares into like O'Neill's eyes. And then I just imagine the fucking da-da, like Mission Impossible music. Like, that just sounds like the worst offer. Like the pitch, he's like, here, oh, yeah, we'll take you back to Earth in like 3 seconds. We've just got all the guns and food you'll need. Hey, we're already leaving. Is it? I haven't said yes yet. No, but you will.
Yeah. You've got no choice.
You're 3 foot of rubber. Shut the fuck up.
What you can't see is there's a little tiny piece of rope coming out of his chair, out of Thor's chair, that's set a light on one end, and it's just the fuse just getting closer.
Yeah, because O'Neill's like pretty much saying, why should we do this? And he's like, Thor's like, oh, they'll probably come to Earth maybe one day, sort of.
Yeah, it's like Thor, have we actually gotten our like things you owe us yet? Like you already owe us like 5 times
over. Yeah, totally.
And every time we ask you for help, you're like, nah, sorry, can't do it.
Sorry, Goyle.
Or you just don't pick up the phone. As like, and now you want another favor? It's like, come on, come on.
It's like, you give us your ship and you can have the Prometheus.
Thor did upgrade their ship, right? Like straight away.
Something to do with the shields, yeah. He's maxed out their shields or something like that.
We've sorted pretty much everything out for you. Not too much that you can, you know, learn from it, but it'll do you until you get in there.
Are you satisfied now, Reese, that you've seen Jonas getting some training? Just that little bit of just...
Yeah, I was so happy with that.
Again.
I really was. And then, I love the fact that he's like, I've got blisters. I'm like, that is epic. O'Neill's didn't just say, look, stand there and reload it. Keep doing it. I'll be back soon. He's just like standing there staring at him. Do it.
Do it again.
Do it.
Faster.
Do it.
I got blisters. Shut up and do it again.
Shut up. Yeah. That was epic.
One thing that really got me, and it got me last week, but I wanted to save it because I did watch these back to back. I wanted to save it for this week is the poor like acting against nothing. Like last week, right at the end when Thor showed up, and just the way that Richard Ian Anderson was playing it, Thor, buddy, you look great. I know he's always going to be talking to a puppet, but it's almost like he wasn't even talking to someone doing the voice. Like he was just having to deliver on a voice track that was going to be delivered later. Like the director wasn't even giving Thor's lines to him. He just had to act his lines in the script, and it was really awkward. And then this week,
I found that to be like, because this is the first time, he didn't know that Thor was out of the coma, right?
No, that he went for the new body, I think.
But they hadn't interacted with him, I guess. Maybe it's a bit of surprise, Then this week, it was probably the reverse, where you had O'Neill was the subject being spoken to when they're realising back at the SGC that their guns and their food have just disappeared, and Hammond saying to Walter, you're sure the gate hasn't been on? He's like, pretty sure I would have realised.
Bitch, you
right
can see
in front
it.
Of me.
You can see it from
the
gate here.
Guy. It's literally my only job, is to make sure that thing goes on and off or doesn't go on when it's supposed
Hammond,
to.
Hammond, when you're looking at Walter, the gate's in the background. Yeah. You can see that it's
but then like
Walter is the gate on? It's f***ing right there, mate. Have a look.
My head's not big enough that I'm blocking out the whole thing.
Did you hear the alarm go off?
Did I say incoming traveller? Yeah. No, it's
the
close.
Fucking PA system warm-up. Right here.
Yeah.
But then you had like Jack Hologram in, and then Hammond be like, hey, Jack, great to see that you survived. I hope you're going okay. And I'm like, wouldn't he be in the room? Like, he's having to act there anyway. It's not like they would have just like filmed him and just been like a bit of, like put a bit of filter over him. Like, I don't know. It just seemed again, he was acting against no one speaking Jack's lines. Mm. And it just felt really out of place.
Yeah, I did feel that disconnect with Thor. Because it was like a couple of seconds before Thor would say his line and then vice versa.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, maybe it's not even the performance. Maybe it's just all in the edit or
maybe
something.
Maybe it's the chair. Maybe the chair makes the difference.
That's what I thought. He's beamed himself in, but he's brought his chair with him so he doesn't have to stand up. He's like, all right, I'm out. Beams him and his chair back out.
I think they kind of just go, it looks weird standing.
Yeah. Not the weirdest line delivery, though. The weirdest line delivery for me was when they land the Prometheus on the planet and Jonas is there counting down 150 meters, 100 meters.
50 meters.
Touchdown! So weird.
Like someone just scored a touchdown.
Yeah, it's like, mate.
In NFL.
We felt the ship hit the ground. We know we've touched down. Like,
what I find weird is...
What was that? Oh, we touched down.
How slow were they? Obviously, the Americans aren't aware of the metric system because 50 meters is not that far, especially when you're in a plane or an aircraft.
We must have been at a hover by that point. And it was just slow. Yeah. Like would have been an elevator. Just like an elevator travels faster than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't know why they were like, whoa, that was epic. Because you're going really slow. 10 meters. Yeah. Well, 5 meters.
I think they were trying to play out the fact that, you know, it's supposed to be manned by like 100 people or whatever, and there's just the four of them,
right?
And they've landed it on an alien planet.
No, I got that. I just thought the whole distance thing was weird.
The way Jonas was saying it made it seem like the distance was the big deal, not the fact that they just landed on their first alien planet in their brand new spaceship.
Yeah,
it's a massive first. Yeah,
on a purely flat replicator surface, which was good.
Yeah,
I did love how much of a smartass.
Sorry, didn't Jack Tilk's job in that landing part was no sign of replicators? The floors made of them, mate.
Yeah.
And then
he was too busy jumping up, turning off that steam valve, though.
Yeah.
Apparently, I don't want that steam in my face.
Apparently, the Prometheus is powered by coal, so they just had to turn the steam off.
I'm like sitting there thinking Tilk's like manning this piece of equipment that's tracking him. He's just like looking out the window. No sign of him.
Can't see anything.
Can't see anything. No, I think we're clear. Yeah.
What? Our scanner is it can't penetrate dust.
A thin layer of dust that we can brush away with one of Daniel's brushes.
Why was it storming around the whole planet, though?
I'm assuming it's...
electromagnetic storm, maybe?
Yeah, maybe it's
didn't
just
work.
Because the entire planet was covered in replicator blocks, maybe just the ecosystem. It's like a nuclear winter. But we could still breathe out there okay. So I don't know. Where was the oxygen coming from?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, we can breathe and they automatically speak English. It's just, it's fine. Yeah. It's a show.
Well, let's talk about it. Fifth. Another creepy guy obsessed with Carter.
Yes. And like, this is where I will side with Reese a little bit from the start about, well, it's not skin or whatever. I'm like, okay, I can deal with all of that.
Yeah.
But like, what robot, what advanced robot made him have such sexy sort of just out of bed in the morning, curly, wavy hair
mate,
like
that? Was soul
like,
blow. That was full blown soul
does he
blow.
Pick
just,
that?
Like, just
mate,
soul
if you,
like
at least first, if you could design like yourself.
He had like a military haircut. First had a military haircut.
Yeah,
he was
a
boss, right?
He was Colonel Haircut, basically.
I mean, even the women, you're like, why would you have long hair or even like have you got it up in a bob or something? I don't know. But why did that guy have like a cool boy next door sort of look going on?
Yeah,
you know?
And the fashion. Why choose that fashion? Why not dress like Reese was
dressed?
Can't
you tell we're replicators? We're wearing shirts with like alfoil on them in the shape of squares.
They're like replicators and shit. That was cool. Fifth designed it. It's pretty gay. But anyway.
This represents our fashion. Foundation.
And it's
we're
like
not fans of it, but it's all we've got at the moment.
At the same time, we're nostalgic. So
our building is made out of stuff, but then our furniture is made out of replicator blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's our clothes made out of?
Us.
Nanites? Everything you see is nanites.
Neutronium.
And how do they understand food? Like when they said, oh, we've already brought your food onto the ship. Would you come and join us? I like the line, when's dinner? Whenever you get hungry. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's kind of true. Mm. But when they walked in, they've got food all sort of set out properly. I'm like, you wouldn't know what's what.
Well, to be fair, there was just like a whole watermelon just sitting on the table.
That's true,
so
next to ice cream and a bottle of water.
I would have loved the idea that they've just like found like a bottle of water and just like and just like poured it on the table, going, you guys will drink that up, won't you? You know,
how does this work?
That would have been good.
Yeah, that was weird.
There was a one track shot when Carter. Well, they were in the what do you call it? Navigation room. All right, so they're in the bridge, and then Carter goes down to the engine room, and then like 3 seconds later, Jonas and O'Neill walk out, go down the elevator, and then go into that door.
Yeah.
One track shot, and all of a sudden she's there, had a full conversation with this fifth guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm like, how did she get down there so quick? The elevator was already back up the top when they got there. She went literally 3 seconds before them.
Yeah. She went down the hole that she cut out with a blowtorch.
At that point, I'm like, because she was so close, or they were so close behind her. At that point, I'm like, that's not the real Carter. That's a replicator. So I'm like, they've just walked in on them having a conversation, and she's gone, everything's okay.
Right.
He's brought us here to be more comfortable. And I'm like, that is sus.
You could say it's a replicator.
Oh! Oh!
Don't give him too many applause.
Yeah, no, that's not mine. That's definitely not mine. Speaking of all that too, with Fifth and stuff, do we feel, I guess in the long run, Jack did make the right decision, like at the end, to fuck over Fifth?
Yeah.
But
oh man.
But
absolutely.
Jack had no way to know that Fifth would never make it though. Like, so for SG-1 it worked out the best for them because Fifth never would have made it because the first and all those others captured him.
Yeah.
But it's like if that hadn't have happened, Fifth could have been a really good ally for us. He could have potentially...
That's true.
Nah. He was like Reese. And this is because I was watching it with my missus. And
they fixed what was wrong with Reese. No, what's wrong with you, mate?
They tried. He said they tried and they didn't.
Yeah, that's why he was weak. We said we fixed that and thought, we won't make that
mistake. We thought Reese was weak until she got angry.
No, but he's saying there is a flaw in Reese, which they discovered when First was born. And then they just try to take that out with Fifth. So Fifth is the way that Reese was meant to be designed, to be fairly stable.
No, but he said they tried to take it out, but they failed. That's why he's so weak.
No, but it was a failure in his eyes.
Yeah, I always saw that as a failure from the other replicators.
They're like, it's a failure. Oh, that failed because he's shit. Because
he was too human. They were like, oh, right. You're gross. You're human. You're not enough replicator. Okay. Even though their replicator's trying to be human, they're like, oh, you're too human.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a bit... I guess I don't want to give anything away on, you know, what we may or may not see of human form replicators going forward.
Mm.
So it might be a conversation for another time, but...
But, yeah, I totally agreed with Jack. You can't even take the risk. Oh, but I felt sorry for him. Yeah, but this is the mission, and our whole point is to capture the replicators here. Like, she built one replicator, and all this stemmed from that. So you're going to take a replicator, and it's such an advanced replicator off that planet to take with you and go, hey, look what we've got.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even, you've met him for 5 minutes. Like,
yeah, you can't destroy him if you want to.
I would say, Fifth is much more dangerous than Reese if we lost control.
Yeah, big time.
Like, he could do a lot more damage than little Reese could do. Because he's made out of the nanites and can all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of felt sorry for him because he did seem to be genuine that he was.
Oh, absolutely.
To help
He helped him. But then what's to say that he wasn't the next destroyer of worlds? Mm. I need your help to get off this planet, but as soon as I'm off, you're fucked.
But I mean, we never got into Reese's mind, whereas we were literally inside Fifth's mind and he was kind of hiding it from the others. So.
Yeah, but that's just what he's telling us. Like I said, he could be just being a lone ranger, and just his ultimate. He just needed to get away from the others, and if they were trapped on that world, then he could he could be like the Goa'uld. If they could go out on their own, maybe that's all he wanted.
Yeah, fair point.
You never know.
I guess I think from Jack's point of view, it's at the end of the day, doesn't matter what he looks like. He's still a replicator. There's still that innate sort of underlying quality of go forth, spread, conquer.
And that's totally Jack. It doesn't matter if he's a Toker, he's still a Goa'uld.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know. It's kind of touching. Yeah, you feel bad for Fifth, and you can understand why Jonas and Carter feel that way. But you're like, but he's still a replicator.
Yeah,
it's hard because
he was the only way out.
Yeah.
You know, of that situation.
Yeah, sure, have an alternate timeline. There's no way we're going to know, like, if, you know, Fifth had gotten away and came with us, what would have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it might be a conversation.
I mean, it could have been good. They could have fixed him.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, and there's also that whole thing about, you know, if he's in control of all the replicators and they're all on that planet, well, he's not going to be corrupted by the power if they're all destroyed, but then he might just make more. So, it might be a conversation. We'll continue, you know, the next time we encounter some human form replicators.
I guess they could have, if they found a way to shut him down. I mean, it's going to be obviously he's a couple of hundred years more advanced than Reese. But if they found a way to shut him down, then give him to the Asgard and go, try that without replicators all over the universe that are coming in and trying to attack you. Put all your resources on that. How do you stop them? You know, I suppose they'll have enough time. But, you know, so again.
Yeah, I guess because of the time dilation field, I guess they felt it wasn't.
Wasn't really
important enough. Yeah. Like Jack felt okay. Well, I think he had more faith in the time dilation device than he did in Fifth helping them.
Yeah.
But having said that, I mean, when they got there, the replicators had already fucked with the time dilation device for their benefit.
Yeah.
So it's weird that Jack put a lot of put a lot of weight into that. So
in what way?
Well, I think Jack felt like the time dilation device was going to stop the replicator, was going to hold them on that planet for as long as they needed to. And he put more faith in that than bringing Fifth with them.
Yeah.
So he was quite fine betraying Fifth.
Trusting the Asgard more than trusting Fifth.
However, at the start of the episode when we get there, because they've already been stuck in a time dilation device, but then we find out that they've managed to f*** with it and turn it the other
reverse
way around.
It, yeah.
And that's how we got human form replicators, is because they fucked with the time dilation device already.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing for Jack to kind of forget that, when it's like, well, if they fucked with it once,
yeah, that's true,
they could quite easily fuck with it again and spend another million years.
It just might, take a couple of hundred years to walk to the device and put your hand in
it.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. And I found it quite interesting, actually, when First goes, yeah, so they found the android, like, basically the Asgard left the planet, they set the device as it was just about to go off. The replicators found Reese, and then created First, and within those kind of last seconds, he stopped the device.
Mm.
That's the way I thought about it.
Yeah, like, that's quick.
They made that quick.
Yeah.
Even though Thor's like, there was we put in quite amount of detail for error.
Although that was their last ditch effort, right? So the Asgard. So they would have, their technology would have advanced so quick that they would have been able to make something that quick, right?
Was it First himself that actually closed the device, or was it just a
Yeah, because he was saying that the bugs couldn't access through the trinium alloy or whatever the hell they made it out of. But he, because he can put his hand through things, he was able to get through it.
Right.
From what that's kind of what I understood. Yeah. I thought it
might have been, yeah,
the nanites.
The bugs were managed to stop it, and then spent however many thousands of years they were once they swapped it around, making all the
they created him
forms.
Before it went off.
That's not a lot of human form replicators if you think about it, over however many thousands of years they were developing there.
I think Carter said it was a couple of hundred.
Oh, yeah,
there's a couple of years. But still, yeah, I think they were trying to get the flaws out or whatever.
Yeah, but only just pop out their sixth.
Yeah.
Like, when we get there, it's like...
Oh. Maybe it had to do with the nanoquadrium, whatever.
The neutronium.
Neutronium things.
That must have been. So obviously that's why they hadn't built a ship and got out of there, is because they were still trying to...
Grow their fleet.
Master it. Yeah, grow an army.
Yeah.
I guess, but I mean, they still had the finite resources of that one planet, so...
Yeah.
By the time they've managed to put blocks all the way around the entire planet, surely they've gotten all the neutronium, so they know how many human forms they can make.
Mm.
It's interesting, but it does go in a weird way, and I think Atlantis does ruin the replicators a little bit.
I think they're already ruined. They're rubbish.
Yeah,
they're a Cooper creation.
Well, actually,
so if you think
human form was actually a Brad Wright idea, I believe.
No, wasn't it Andy Makeda? Didn't he, or someone wrote that?
Brad Wright wrote this episode.
Yeah, it was Cooper and Brad Wright have the story credit. But I'm talking about from Menace, whoever wrote Menace. I thought it was Andy Makeda or someone like that. And Cooper, that's why I said Cooper runs with the idea, but he retcons it in terms of Reese. Because you like the idea of the android creating
it and it being a big mistake, which is exactly what Jonas said. Like, he's like, don't you find that interesting? Like, this whole thing, and he went through the whole process. I'm
Menace,
like, that's exactly what I think. Like,
Menace was Peter DeLuise and James Titchener.
Titchener, that's it.
Yeah.
Because, we discussed that Cooper was pissed off that Titchener took the idea of the replicators and ran with it. I just found it funny how as soon as they got to the replicator planet, Carter knew exactly where the time dilation device was. Like, she walked in there and bang, found it. Didn't look on the left, found it immediately on the right.
Well, there was one room and
there's one building on the entire planet one room in the entire building, and it's smack bang in the fucking middle with a big yellow light on it.
What I'm saying is, it's like a square kind of dropping, and then so she didn't look anywhere on that square, she found it right where it was.
Well,
there was a sign that said, here.
Well, she said...
time dilation bus.
She said earlier on that...
sixth is dumbass.
She said earlier on that Thor made her a timer out of, like, their material. So surely he gave her, like, a fucking diagram of what the time dilation looks like.
Yeah, surely.
Surely.
But she said that the replicators completely changed it.
Yeah, but it's sci-fi. Yeah. You just got to go with
it. You just got to go with it.
I can go with hands through the head, but she knowing exactly where it is, no. She's not. She's brilliant. She's not that brilliant. I forgot what it was about.
It's just sci-fi, mate. You just got to go with it.
I found, especially last week's episode in Prometheus and this kind of a doubleheader, Amanda Tapping's eyebrows are wonderful.
Are they?
Have you ever noticed that?
No.
She must have had a nice little wax going.
Oh.
In this episode.
Could pluck them.
If you can see my eyebrows,
could
I'm
use
not
sharp
a...
rocks. To...
On a slingshot.
Just slingshot them off.
Slingshot some rocks at her. Wowzers.
She looks a good aim.
Do you know what I found quite interesting is we find out Hammond's speed dial one is his granddaughter's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good little add-in.
His granddaughter's. Not his kid who had those kids, just straight to the grandkids. He's like, my actual offspring. I want my offspring's offspring.
Kind of funny.
Doesn't even mention my daughter.
Really? Yeah. It's like, not my daughter, my son. No, my, you know, what? Not my grandkids.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, that's good.
I never really, noticed that, but because he always talks about his granddaughters.
Yeah, he talks about his granddaughters all the time.
Granddaughters, what? They got mobiles.
Yeah.
Okay, two then.
And didn't he used to have two phones? Didn't he have like a normal phone and then like a Batman red phone to the president?
Yeah.
So, and it was like, a hot dial, pick up the phone, it automatically rings the president.
Yeah.
And but I think Jack was saying it in jest.
But then doesn't he pick it up in this episode and like call the president? He's like, I'm holding for the president.
I think that was last week.
Oh, was it?
When they asked the
journalist. Yeah, but he's back on the black phone going,
I
miss the red Batman phone with like no dials on it. It's just that, yeah.
Give me the president. It's just that. Do you know what color this phone is, honey?
I wouldn't have added the honey. That's a bit...
Why not?
Oh, it's just a bit misogynistic,
honey. Honey,
I don't think so.
Not if she's
a honey.
I
call my wife honey.
Yeah, she's your wife.
So?
Do you call female co-workers honey?
No.
Yeah, see?
Darling? I call everyone darling.
But, you know, he's from Texas and he's old school. So he's like, honey, honey.
Give
me some of that sweet honey.
When like
old school Texas.
Chicks working at like a carvery takeaway call you darling. Like, can I get a roast pork sandwich and not be called darling? That'd be like,
you want chicken salt, darling?
Yeah. Can you just
that's part of your order.
Sure thing, sweetie.
Little tip that I learnt this many years ago.
Get a roast beef sandwich and hold the darling. Thank you.
Don't call me darling.
Yeah. Little tip, if you do get yourself a roast pork sandwich and they ask you for applesauce or gravy.
Gravy.
Get both.
Oh, God.
Why not?
Game changer. Absolute
game
changer.
Didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Apple gravy.
Yeah.
Actually, make that your answer to all life's questions.
Why not both?
Why not both?
Ask me what my sexual orientation is
That's
again.
That's it. Why not both?
But, excuse me, mate. There's more than two. Thanks, Harpich.
Don't assume.
I didn't say genders. I said sexual orientation.
Don't assume there's more than two genders.
Don't assume that there is.
No. Yeah, don't assume there's not.
There's definitely just two.
Yeah.
There's definitely just two. There's definitely two.
Penis or vagina?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Penis and vagina.
Penis then vagina.
Trans means vagina. I'm happy for a third gender, but I draw the line there.
We could go on forever.
We could, and we usually do. But we've got to get out of here. So,
it's time for the Get Into Geet Hairy Mailbag
Weekly.
JBird25 writes in. JJ, I think she's changed her name on Twitter. It was Janie, wasn't it?
Janie. Janie's got a gun, because she's never heard that before.
She tweets and says, thank you at the Bren Gibson for being one of the only people to ever pronounce my whole name completely right.
Oh, you're welcome.
I lost it when I heard it on the Hairy Mailbag. Thanks, boys.
Hairy Mailbag.
At Get Into Gate.
You're welcome, JJ.
Well done.
I mean, obviously, Janie's got a couple of... DMs that were inappropriate. She's changed the name to JJ.
Yeah.
It wasn't from me. Don't look at me like that, Reese.
Come on. JBird.
She did follow it up with an email to us.
Because people pronounce her name wrong.
Yeah.
I stalked her Twitter a little bit.
Yeah, she gets a lot. She gets Jason.
When I say that, I mean I followed her back and looked at her pinned tweet.
Like, you all you have to do is click on her picture and it's going to bring up her Twitter feed, so that's fine. She did follow it up with not a quick email, but a fairly substantial email that I'll try and get through quite quickly. Hello, boys. I've been a long time... Don't assume we're boys. Previous conversation, sorry.
Pause of effort.
I added that bit.
We're men.
Manly men. We're
not
men
me.
In tights. Yes.
Sometimes.
Sorry, I watched Robin Hood last night.
Men.
Oh, God,
men,
not that.
Men.
I've been a long time...
Manly men.
God, I hate that show. Okay, I'll try and get this quickly. I've been a long time fan of Stargate and we're almost the same age. I'm 25. So I really did grow up on the show. I recently was going through my annual rewatch and decided to go and look for a Stargate podcast again. There are a few that I've tried to follow, but typically I couldn't get past the second episode. I first listened to Get Into Gate episode Window of Opportunity because it's my favorite.
Great choice.
Let me tell you. She put all that in capitals. Just adding a bit of theatre to it.
Nice.
I binged the entire podcast in about 3.5 weeks after that.
Solid, J-Bird.
Well done, Janie. You got Janie is a gun. See what I did
there?
You guys always
don't presume.
Sorry,
don't presume. She's a gun.
Don't assume what weapon she is, mate.
No, she's a gun. She's a. Spaz 12. Anyone say someone's really good at something? She's a gun.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's a gun at the same.
Yeah, maybe maybe she's a slingshot. We don't know.
Could be a bow and arrow.
She's a slingshot full of rocks. Okay, fair enough. You guys always say that the viewer of Stargate is like the fifth member of the team, but I certainly feel like the fifth member of the Get Into Gate team.
Oh, you are.
Absolutely,
JJ.
You are.
Oh, you might want to hold off on there just because of the next part she says.
Right.
Does it say
kick Reese off?
No, there's some stuff here you're not going to like.
I'd love her even more.
No, there's some stuff here you're not going to like. I absolutely adore the show. I constantly crack up at work because you all are so freaking hilarious. I also love Star Trek. Sorry, boys, that's one.
Sure is.
Gilmore Girls and Buffy. But, Lord, do I love how you give Maddie a hard time. Shit, I was on your side there.
You're welcome.
The banter between the Gibson brothers, Reese losing his mind over Daniel ascending and then getting over it pretty damn quickly. Everyone talking over Maddie with tangents. I'm glad someone noticed that.
Mitch, how about someone noticed Maddie talking over everyone? Jesus.
Mitch getting freaked out when Around the World was played recently. Several minutes of audio playing / getting cut because you're laughing so much. Maddie's Box of Shame and low-pitch Maddie segments are just classic. The humor is unplanned but so great. Love that you guys bring out the illustrated edition in the episodes, use audio commentary, and connect it with other SG series as well. The show is a great mix of friends having a good time and are true fans and analyzing the episodes. Even after all this time, you boys find new segments to add to the show. I can't say it enough. This podcast is absolutely the best.
Oh,
thanks for all you do.
Wow.
Your friend J-Bird. Here in the US, a J-Bird.
Sensational. Wow. Look, woo! You can ride in any time you want, J-Bird, with that kind of gear.
Just absolutely. Less than that, though, because I'm wrecked now. Whew.
Sensational.
Well done. Thank you,
thanks,
Jamie.
JJ.
Well done.
Got a tweet here from Larry Sean Vitote.
Sure.
Vitito?
Larry Vitito.
You and I know.
Totes.
Sean
Vitote. At Get Into
the
Gate.
The toe.
Hashtag just Get Into Gate. Hashtag Get Into Gate podcast.
Yeah. One of our patrons.
Absolutely. Hashtag greatest podcast ever. Hashtag head gate technician. Hashtag long live Walter.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I love a tweet when it's just hashtags. That's great. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, but he's tagged us first.
Yeah.
Which
but
is
just
one
to
of the
have
great.
Have too many hashtags and no actual tweet, I think is kind of just like,
mate, hashtag say it all.
Yeah, just tips the format on its head. I love it.
God,
yeah.
Sensational.
Also on Twitter, always angry Steve. That's just his name, not even his handle. I love it. It's crazy listening.
Obviously
to
American.
It's crazy listening to Get Into Gate from the start and going through the Origins tracks. At one point in time, I was so excited like they were and thinking of all the possibilities that could be, and bam, here's a shit sandwich. Glad to hear them hate it as much as me.
Yeah.
On you, Steve. I think, I think Steve changed his Twitter handle to Always Angry Steve after he saw Origins, obviously. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
From now on, he's angry.
Always angry.
I mean, we share something right there, Steve. Origins, angry about it.
Boom. I got an email here from Santos Gonzalez.
He loves Around the
World. Arriba! Hey, guys. Greetings from Utah. I'm a longtime fan of the show and love you guys more than most of my own family.
Utah what?
Utah Saints!
That's a thing, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay, good.
Sure.
It is, yeah.
I think that's more about how shitty my family is than anything else. The main reason I'm...
Don't be modest, we're awesome.
The main reason I'm writing in is something that has been irritating me since the Frozen episode premiered, and thanks to your show, I can finally discuss this personal issue with true fans of the show. In the episode Frozen, Dr. Michaels gives the woman found in the ice an Indian name because she's at
best... Native American.
Well, because she's at best 5% Native American. WTF.
What the f***?
It really irritates me when people on TV think after finding out that there is a small percentage of a different race in their DNA, they feel the need to co-opt their culture and heritage so they can feel special. I'm half Indian. See, he says Indian, not Native American. He's half Indian. And you don't see me naming my daughter Pocahontas.
Just Trump.
P.S. Well, speaking of racist shit, hey there, Maddie. Just so you know, I'm also half Mexican. And when it comes to your Around the World segment on the show, specifically your Mexican accent, I love it. You get my seal of approval. Keep it up, buddy.
Maddie, have you got a fake account called Santos Gonzalez?
Santos Gonzalez. Gonzalez.
Well, that's...
Well, Reese just found out that you're actually... You got a DNA test back.
I did,
and
yeah.
You are the father.
If you want to hear about that, that'll
you
be
made
on
yourself wrong.
That'll be on story time for Patreon. I'm going to save it for that. But
intriguing.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm pretty sad that Santos says that I can't change my name based on the small percentage of my background, but I will be.
Ooh, okay.
Gotcha.
I've got a tweet here from Beamer Weber.
Beamer_527
on the tweet.
The B-Dog.
Get into gate. Suggestion. When rating the season episodes, remind us once about each episode, i.e. Bane, the flying sperm episode, sucked sperm balls. I don't have the list in front of me when I'm listening. I can't always remember the names of episodes. I got to be honest with you, Beamer Weber. I've been thinking about that for the last three seasons, to be honest.
You've done so much to intervene with that, Reese. Well done.
Wouldn't that take way too long?
Like, no, not really.
We mainly can do the top.
But then
three, bottom three, I guess.
Yeah, well, and then we do. I think we talk about the top three and the bottom three, but the middle ones, who gives a shit? We kind of just roll through them.
I think it's good. If I go, these are my bottom seven. Bane, the one with the flying sperm tilt, gets bloody whatever.
Yeah, but then if I do my bottom seven next and my bottom seven is different to yours, which it normally is, am I going to say the flying sperm as well, or am I going to say the other one?
What at the top of the episode, we go, hey, here's season six, and we run through the names and we go, you know, like,
yeah, that's
unnatural
not a bad
selection,
idea.
Human replicators, you know, cure. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Like, and then we actually come to naming our own episodes and listing them, it's up to the listener to remember. It's up for us to remember.
I'm down
like,
for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Run through it real quick. Because I that's half the time why I go, hang on, boys, let's just pause this for a second because I haven't finished my list. And I don't remember what these things are about.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm down for that.
I think it'll be easier than what you think it'll be.
Yeah, it'll just be like...
the way Mitch said it, I like
Bane
that.
The flying spunk bombs. Yeah. That'll be good. Couple of YouTube subscribers here.
Yeah.
Ride01, shout out to Ride. Bonnie Bailey. Get Bonnie into your gate.
Into your Bailey.
Two of the great YouTube subscribers there. And YouTubers in general.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
The Wealth Hustle replied to us on the Origins chat.
Oh, that's right. Mitch, Mitch brought that up. Like, that was happening like live as we were recording.
That's right.
Like, it was coming. Yeah.
He replied and said, Origins.
Hey, don't assume for fuck's sake.
The Wealth Hustle replied, said, Origins. You guys were definitely more entertaining than Origins.
Oh, excellent.
So fantastic. Thank you, The Wealth Hustle, for...
Hustler.
We thought
we had a new enemy, but no, we've got a new friend.
Yeah. We like having enemies. Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, look, we don't mind it.
I mean, what's a hero without a villain, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I feel we're the villains.
That's what I was about to say. We're obviously the villains.
I enjoy being the bad guy.
Brilliant. And now we've got a Facebook recommendation from Amelia Childress. As a long-term SG1 fan, this is absolutely fantastic. I have literally laughed uncontrollably multiple times. Well, I hope you got a laugh out of that one, Amelia, and you're not plotting.
No, we're cutting that.
Plotting our deaths.
cutting. Oh, emptied.
Done.
Is it? Is that it?
Finished.
Me drunk.
It's time to find out if Reese has been paying attention.
It will be if I wrote a fifth question.
Lightning round.
Ugh.
I'll give you an easy one. I have to give him at least one, otherwise he f***ing cries to mum.
To mum.
Get a call from mum, like on the drive home. Did you make it hard for Reese to get at least one question? Yes, f*** him.
He came crying to me. I had to tell him to f*** off again. All right, let's go. Wait. 30 seconds on the clock, 5 questions. Time starts at the end of the first question.
I really should have written this down. All right, which replicator did Carter bone over?
What?
Fifth?
Correct. What was the first planet settled by the Asgard?
Hulla.
Correct. What did Jack want the name of the Prometheus to be?
X-303.
Incorrect. According to Thor, what was the radius of the time dilation bubble?
Enterprise.
Of the time dilation bubble was not Enterprise.
Maddie, that's two. pass.
How many minutes did Jack tell Carter to set the time device for?
Three.
Correct. So actually, you got Enterprise, which I was hoping you'd miss again, just because you missed Enterprise a couple of weeks ago. That would have been amazing. Mm. And the radius of the time dilation was 0.16 light years. So,
I got to write down every number they say in every episode, just in case it comes up as a f***ing question.
Correct.
Ding.
Reese, your father made you wrong.
Just to bookend
you
it with that.
You stupid son of a bitch.
What a dipshit.
One of the greats.
All right, that's episode 123. 1, 2, 3 of Get Into Gate Unnatural Selection. Next week, we are talking about episode 13 of season 6, Sight Unseen. Until then, you can check out all of our old podcasts on the Get Into Gate podcasting channels. Just search the show on your favorite outlet. Follow us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or drop us a long form email for our hairy mailbag, getintogate@gmail.com.
And if you want to see some unnatural selections, jump onto Patreon, because we've got a few videos of Reese there. That is completely unnatural, what he's doing on that.
Nobody selected that, mate.
And you can also catch us individually on the socials, on Twitter and Instagram, Mitch_Lewis. That's me. Maddie, where you at?
At High Pitch Maddie.
Brandon.
I'm at the Bren Gibson.
And Reese.
At the Flying Gibson.
Catch you next week for Sight Unseen right here on Get Into Geek.
Get Into Geek.